Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Roman Oban. We welcome you in on this Wednesday afternoon. It is hump day. And as always, Roman and I are with you for the next hour. So, and again, hey, listen, this show is for Giants fans. So 201-939-4513 is the number you want to get in. Now is the time to do it. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter, as always, throughout the show. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Giants and include that hashtag Giants chat for any questions or comments you want or would like for us to share on the show. Also, you can follow, as Roman's on Twitter right now, you can follow Roman on Twitter at r_Oben.
O-B-E-N.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's an easy one.
Some people mess it up. Like, some people say R-O-M-E-N, Roman. I'm like, who's Roman? Roman. Say it 10 times real quick. Roman Oben, Roman Oben, Roman Oben, Roman Oben.
Roman Oben, Roman Oben, Roman Oben.
Anita Marks, Anita Marks. So you can't mess up Anita Marks.
Some people ask me if that's my real name. I'm like, of course.
Is that your stage name?
What? Of course it's my real name. Is that my real name? Anyway, we do welcome you in as the Giants unfortunately lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Next team up, and that is Tennessee. So they get to head out on the road to Tennessee, and a lot of storylines surrounding that team as well. But Roman, as always, I mean, you know, this is my first chance of talking to you. Very disappointing loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars, considering the Giants were up 21-0 at one point.
Yeah, I mean, a game like Jacksonville, Anita, you're up 21-3 at half. You just got to run the ball, continue to move the ball downfield, and run them out the gym. I mean, that's the formula when you're up, especially against a team like that. I mean, they were vulnerable in a lot of areas, and I talked about this Monday. You know, Gus Bradley, who brought that Seattle system to Jacksonville. You know, he had the youngest team in the league, also the most disciplined team in the league. Which you wouldn't expect from a young team. They are the least penalized team. So to have a team that young and not have as much penalties, I mean, they're really a disciplined group. And then defensively, you know, they rotate guys. They had about three players, I believe, that had at least five sacks. And when that pocket started to collapse and when Schwartz went out and then Brewer had the concussion and, you had to put Jerry to tackle and Dallas Reynolds, I mean, it was all bad in terms of pass protection and keeping Eli Manning upright. But the bottom line, I mean, you can live with Josh Brown missing his first field goal in the season in Week 12. But the Donnell fumble, you know, that was really unfortunate. And I think I was a little more disappointed in the effort offensively to try to dive on that ball in the end zone. I mean, you had Jennings, who kind of has, like, trying to hold the ball, was on one knee, and Beatty was kind of holding his arm. Seemed like he'd got injured his arm, but I mean, you've got to dive on that ball because you know 2 points is better than seven. Defense only gave up one touchdown. And you talk about the defensive woes. You talk about the end of the game and you know, missing that the contain on the outside and Bortles going up the sideline, you know, getting his team in the red zone. And, it was images of that Seattle game. And, Anita, you know, one thing about the NFL, as you know, if you don't do something well, it's going to come back on film. Another team is going to continue to exploit that, even if it shows up 3 or 4 weeks later. So this defense had seven sacks. JPP had a sack and a half. Kennard had two. I mean, so they say, okay, well, these guys are so sack happy and they've done well getting to the quarterback. Let's see if they're disciplined to have it contained. You lost contain. I mean, there was a holding call, by the way, that had gotten moved them back to the 45-yard line, but Jacksonville gave up that they got that back with the scamper of the outside. But the good news, the 24-hour rule, after a game, as you know, NFL players, you have 24 hours to figure about the game and move forward. This is the last quarter of the season, and I always divide the season really in thirds, kind of like a third, a third, a third, and that's the character phase, the beginning of the season. You know, what do you do well? You know, what do you do well coming out of training camp? You know, as you establish your identity, that's the second phase, character identity, and then the integrity phase. Now, I used to talk about this all the time when we were on radio together. That integrity phase, that last, you know, 4 or 5 games, like, what are you playing for? And I don't like to use the term playing for pride, but I do think you always have an opportunity to prove the type of team you are, the type of team you can be. You've got a lot of young players now, Demontre Moore, Kerry Wynn, Devin Kennard, obviously some guys in the offensive line, some offensive players. You've got a lot of guys because of these IRs, 5 guys put on IR in one day. We're very unfortunate. So you've got some opportunity there for some young guys to really prove themselves You got two more divisional games. So you've got some things to look forward to in terms of what kind of stamp do you put on this season, and then what do you look forward to for 2015? Because the Giants are obviously out of any form of contention for anything.
Again, Roman Oben, Anita Marks with you. Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. A few things based on what you just shared with us. First and foremost, offensive line-wise, I wrote down how I think this offensive line is going to come together in this game against Tennessee. Beattie Richburg, and I'm thinking hopefully Pugh tried to give it a go, but unfortunately could not because of the quad. I'm hoping that he'll be back.
Yeah, and Coach Coughlin said he's going to practice today.
Okay. And then what do you know about Dallas Reynolds?
I think Dallas Reynolds is a serviceable guy at best. But look, when you have that roster cut down in training camp and you keep that, you know, 9 or 10 guys, I don't remember offhand how many they kept on the active roster, and maybe you have a practice squad guy that you the chance to move up. At some point in the season, you're going to have to go to that 8th, 9th guy, and he's going to have to play. And typically, it's in the fourth quarter when he's been standing on the sidelines and just kind of mentally being into the game. Now he's got to go out and play, and it was. Look, John Jerry, by design, is not a right tackle. Dallas Reynolds is a serviceable guy, and I'm just using that term lightly, a serviceable guy. Good enough to make the team, but is he going to start 16 games unless someone's injured? No. And it is what it is. And again, this is my critique, if you will, on player against player versus looking at the bigger picture. But you didn't want it to plan out with Jerry playing right tackle. And Dallas Reynolds at right guard. But, again, injuries happen. Schwartz is on IR. You hope to get Pugh back. Then you could at least get John Jerry back to right guard. And then you have some form of stability in terms of what this thing looked like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And in regard to you just said you fraction out the season.
Right.
And looking ahead. I do want to call up those games again. So at Tennessee, against Washington, at St. Louis, and against Philadelphia, very well that last game against Philadelphia very well can determine if Philadelphia or the Dallas Cowboys win that NFC East division, mind you. St. Louis, as of late, their defense really has been playing exceptionally well. Washington, always a fun time, obviously, because it's a division rival. And then at Tennessee, how hard is it to kind of, because this season has been such a disappointment for a lot of the players in this locker room, you know, for them to be kind of in that mindset to finish strong, want to finish strong, put their best foot forward?
Look, like I said, there's always something to play for. Again, like I said, you've got two divisional games. You've got two divisional games. You know, you've got the chance to hopefully climb a little bit higher than whatever the draft position now. I think it's 7th as it stands right now. They have the 7th pick. You don't want to drop that into that top 5. But you've
well,
got...
Well, fans want them to.
Yeah, and I know somebody's going to call. And listen, like, every fan has a right to their opinion. But this is a Giants show. And I just hope that... I like a fan to come call in, make his point or make her point, and that's it. Make her a point, and that's it. This isn't a ranting session about, like, the problems on what's going on with the team. But, again, you've got young players. They've got a lot to prove. There's 4 games left in this season. And you've got to try to leave this season feeling good about something. Look, can you feel good about Devin Kennard and DeMontre Moore and what they look like for next year? Yes. Can you feel good about his young kid, Kerry Wynn, undrafted free agent, who had a sack last week? Can you feel good about... you know, seeing Odell Beckham, you know, try to get 1,000 yards receiving this year, you know, trying to still be a spark for this offense. I mean, those are things you can feel good about. And hopefully Rashard Jennings can, you know, be the workhorse that he was in that Houston, that Atlanta game. I think Houston gave 176 yards. I mean, can he be that guy? I mean, those are things you can look forward to. And again, you talk about the end of the season. Can you be a spoiler to Philadelphia Eagles, giving them the loss in the division the last game of the season? I mean, no one wants to give the Dallas Cowboys do them a favor, but in terms of you can only control what's in front of you, you can't control what else is going on around the league.
But I guess my question to you is, you know, what type of mindset does a player have to be in to say to themselves, hey, listen, I want to finish strong, not only for myself, but for my team, the pride of the New York Football Giants, Tom Coughlin, the organization.
The bottom line, Anita, is you're a professional athlete and you're getting paid to do a job. And if you don't do that job well, you will get replaced. Player, coach, scouting, whoever. So the mindset is get up. Wednesday's like a Monday in the NFL. It's the beginning of the week. You know, Wednesday to Sunday, Sunday being like the game.
Right.
Get up, go to work, try to get better, and help the team win on Sunday. I mean, that's motivation enough. And, you know, you can look at the totality of the schedule. I think there were 3-9, you know, 7 in a row. I mean, October 5th was the last time the Giants won a game, and that's we're talking like 60 days now. I mean, October 5th, the game this Sunday is on the 7th, so 2 months. It'll have been 2 months and they lost the game. I told you this before. Me and Sean O'Hara played together in Cleveland. When I left here, went to Cleveland. He was a rookie. 2000 team. We went 2-1 and lost 9 straight. That's the worst I've ever been through as a professional athlete. I still think about that season now. And I've been out of football for 5 years. But again, there are a lot of things that to prove every day you wake up as an NFL player. There's a lot of things at stake. Your job. The accountability of the team, you know, coaching staff. You don't want to let the coach down. You don't want to let the guy next to you down. So that's enough. The record is what it is. You can't change history at this point, but there's enough on the line. There's enough to prove in terms of what's at stake and how does a guy get up and the emotional aspect of being 3-9. So, again, I'll answer that question with there's a lot to prove because you have a job still to do.
Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number to get in, Anita Marks, and, of course, Roman Oben. And we'll be monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's kick it off with our phone calls. We go to Anthony calling in from Maryland. Anthony, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're kicking off the callers today. Welcome.
Yes, how are you doing this morning?
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm good. Thank you. Just wanted to comment on the offensive line. I think during the offseason that should be a main priority. For the offensive line. And I just want to make one comment on Tom Coughlin. I don't think Tom Coughlin should get fired. I honestly believe Jerry Reese should get fired. Let Tom Coughlin run football operations to build this team how he wants it built. What do you guys think about that?
Hey, Anthony, I appreciate your opinion. Again, I said this Monday, you know, I'm not qualified to give an opinion on what I think the ownership should do with this organization.
I understand.
But in terms of the offensive line, you know, I think a lot of people have said maybe you put Pugh to left guard next year and you find a solid right tackle maybe in the draft, you know, get another young, good, solid player. You got Pugh. You got Richburg, who probably should go to center next year. And then the right guard, you try to fight it out, maybe Schwartz or whomever can play right guard. And then you've got a decent offensive line, and you've got to hope these guys stay healthy. Tom Coughlin talked about this in a press conference just an hour ago. That, you know, these injuries have been like surgery injuries. I mean, these haven't been soft tissue. I mean, minus Odell Beckham.
Jeff Schwartz is actually having surgery today. He had tweeted out this morning.
Yeah. Schwartz, Kiwanuka. I mean, you know, if it's a torn pec or something like that, I mean, those don't require surgery. You have to heal that unless there's like severe damage that you have to reattach the tendons or ligaments or what have you. I'm not a doctor, but again, you know, the injury bug.
You only play one on time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the injury bug and those things, they're unfortunate, but you still have to put together a performance. And I think the bottom line is I would have hoped this team learned from that San Francisco and that Dallas loss. I mean, you're talking about 7 points between those two games. You know, is this team in a different mind state? Had you win those games and you don't give up 14, you don't drop 17, give up 14 points to the Jacksonville? Yeah. Is 6-6 right now better than 3-9? Absolutely. But the team's not 6-6, and they have to deal with the task at hand. And this Giants administration, Anthony, if you're still there, they will make the best decision on what they think is best for the organization, and then fans will react, good or bad, about what happens going forward.
Looking at the offensive line, I know I watch a lot more college football, I think, than you do.
Yeah, I only watch Louisville and ACC games.
You've got three growing boys.
They've got their games I got to go to.
Oh, you've got two growing boys. Two, yeah. I've got three adult dogs. So, and my Saturdays are committed to watching college football. But with that being said, is there anybody that you've heard of? Are there any offensive linemen that you've heard other people talk about that really have been making some noise that that has impressed you or has impressed anyone that?
I mean, Alabama's got a couple of guys. I know Quanjo, I think his older brother got drafted by. It's funny, his younger brother, because he got redshirted and his younger brother didn't. Quanjo was a true junior. He plays for the Bills right now. I think he was a second-round pick. His older brother, I think, is a guard. You know, in terms of that second, third round, there's some guys out there. I don't really start looking at the offensive linemen until the season's over, Senior Bowl, East West, you know, those kind of things. Then I'll start saying, who do I like based on what the film I've seen? But
I mean, based on really, and granted, yes, there are a number of issues here that the Giants really have to focus in on, whether it's free agency or the draft, and that's offensive line, a pass rusher. We don't know if JPP is going to return, a safety. We don't know if Antoine Roll is going to return. I mean, there are a lot of areas here, but is it safe to assume going into this draft that offensive line first round is a must?
Well, we said that this time last year, and then they didn't draft Zach Martin, and they drafted Odell Beckham, but that's fared well for the Giants because he's going to be a star in the future of this offense. So, you know, and it's funny, I'm the only one in this building. We did a draft show. I predicted Odell Beckham would get drafted.
Did you really?
Yeah, and we did online with me, John Schmelk, and I said it makes too much sense to draft Zach Martin. So I'm just going to go on a whim and say Odell Beckham's going to be the first pick.
Well, what was it about Odell Beckham Jr. that you said that kind of this is the guy that you thought the Giants?
I think
were
he was just the most NFL ready guy that they saw at an explosive position. You knew Hakeem Nicks was gone. You just needed another guy. You know, now Cruz is in his fourth or fifth year, so you need another young explosive guy. And you know, in terms of what he did in college with Cam Cameron and LSU And he's a 5'11 guy that played big. And you know, this NFL now where you want a 6'4", 220-pound guy that can go stretch the field and catch those high balls. But this guy's 5'11", but he plays like he's 6'5". And he's short enough – not short, but he's good enough size to be a shifty route runner. And he's explosive. And he's got good hands. I mean, all the things that we're seeing now. I mean, that was my just surface opinion without going into the deep, intricate details of Odell Beckham. And I thought he'd be a great Giant. Pedigreed, mom and dad were athletes. I mean, all that stuff. Mature. Again, next year, it's going to make too much sense to say, all right, you got to draft the best right tackle available and plug him in at right tackle. But it's going to be about the best player available that they see fit. Now, the higher you are in the draft, if you've got the fifth overall, sixth overall, you've got more options of who you value as the best player because you have more pool. But versus if you're at 12, 13, they're not drafting 20th in the first round, obviously. It'll be a high single-digit number at the very least. 7, 8, 9, maybe 5 or 6, depending on where they finish up this year. But it's not about with the first pick, they got to draft the right tackle and then put him in at right. I mean, it's a lot more intricate than that in terms of who they draft. But again, the Tennessee Titans are the task at hand, and they've got to find a way to win this week and feel good about – you know, not only what they've learned from losing, but feel good about the preparation that it takes to win. I mean, Tom Coughlin's a big preparation guy. You know, I think he's got this Abe Lincoln quote that if you got 6 hours to chop down a tree, you better spend 4 hours sharpening the axe. And then that's who Tom Coughlin is. That's who he lives by. And in terms of sharpening the axe and preparing, I mean, they're preparing for a team. I think that they match up well against that this team could win. We said that this time last week, so we're going to hold our breath to a certain degree. But I don't see this team giving up 14 points offensively 2 weeks in a row. I see them doing the things that it takes to win Sunday.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Roman Oben with you till around 1 o'clock Eastern time today. We're coming to you live from the Giants facility where the Giants are outside practicing, getting ready for Tennessee. Really quick here before we do continue, and Keith, you're up next from Kentucky. But James Brewer not practicing today, dealing with a concussion. Mark Herzlick not practicing as well because of a concussion. Cullen Jenkins will try to practice, dealing with a calf issue. No Rashad Jennings because of an ankle. Jamil McLean will try with a knee. Justin Pugh, as you said.
Yeah, he'll try to go today.
He'll try to go with a quad. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie will be limited because of back and shoulder. And Jaquan Williams will try as well. Don't forget he's been dealing with a concussion and a shoulder issue.
Yeah, so, you know, and my fingers are crossed that Justin Pugh comes back this week because, again, it kind of restabilizes the offensive line. Justin Pugh comes back at right tackle. You move Jerry back to right guard, which is where he's played all year. Obviously, the left side, center, left guard, left tackle remain unchanged.
All right, let's go to line one. Keith from Kentucky is calling in. Keith, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Yes. How y'all doing?
Good. Okay. Hey, Keith, what part of Kentucky are you from? Hello?
Keith, you there? Oh, unfortunately, we may have just lost Keith. So, Keith, if you can, please please call back. Let's go to line two. We've got Joe from Virginia. Joe, welcome in.
Hi, and this is Gerald from Virginia.
Okay, Gerald, I'm sorry. Welcome.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm just going to talk about, you know what, our offense and defense. You know what, it's kind of difficult for us as fans to expect when we put all our backups on the field against a starting team. I mean, what do you expect? We're going to have losses. Until we get healthy on defense and on offense, you know, you can't blame the coach. You can't blame Jerry Reese. You got to take a look at the players that we're putting out there. I'm sure Coughlin would love to have the best players out there against the other team, best players. Until we do that, listen, I think a snowball have a better chance of rolling through hell than we if we could just get five games. I don't think we'll win five games with the team, but the people we have available right now. What do you think about that? Oh, and neither Marks. Yeah, last time I called about 2 years ago, you took my man card from me because I tore my ligaments in my ankle. Do you remember that?
No, how did you tear your ligaments in your – maybe that's why I took your man card. What were you doing?
No, actually, I just fell down some steps.
Okay.
I fell down. You said, oh, I'm going to take your man card. I'm going to take your man card. And, Robin, man, I really enjoyed watching you play when you played.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was great, man. But anyway, I'll take your answer off the phone. Take care.
Gerald, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Gerald said, you know, when you got backups in there, I mean, again, you can talk about Jacksonville Jaguars or not, but you spot them 14 points, and then you're going out in the second half, you know, Eli Manning's, the pocket's collapsing. I mean, that's not a winning formula no matter who you're playing against. So it's not about backups per se, but, again, it's about when the guys have an opportunity to step up, like, you better step up. Because you cannot show a lack of drop-off in production, whether it's Dallas Reynolds, John Jerry going to right tackle, whether it's Ogletree, whether whoever. You've got to make sure that you're just as productive because you've been practicing that stuff. You're an NFL player. And every NFL player says they deserve an opportunity. Every starter, every guy that's not starting, every guy on the – oh, man, if I get a chance, I get – well, you get a chance, you better perform. So I'm always going to be a little more critical on that when a guy's been – you know, sitting there on the sidelines in the cold, and he comes in and drops a ball, and it's like this is your opportunity. You drop a football, or you miss a block, or you do something wrong. But a lot of fans have been venting about a lot of these issues, whether it's the injury bug, poor execution, or just the talent pool as a whole. And I think it's probably a combination of the three. But injuries, again, I've never been on a team that put on five guys in IR on the same day. And I think this time last year, I think we spoke about this last week on the show, Anita. This time last year, you had, I think, 91 total games were lost due to injury. And this time now, I mean, you start the season with Snee and Dave Wilson having to retire. That's 32 games right there missed. Guys that would have at least started or had significant time. Rashard Jennings, I mean, how many games did he miss this year? You know, what, five maybe, four or five? Prince Mukamara. He's severely missed. So, I mean, Walter Thurman. So, you've had injuries at not only key positions, but backups. You know, Jernigan. I talked about Thurman and Prince. Tremaine McBride. I mean, the defensive secondary went from the deepest, most talented secondary in the league going into the season to who's going to play a defense. Now, the most injured team in the league. You know, the offensive line, we talked about that. So, look, across the board, and again, Anita, I've been on bad football teams. I've been on some bad teams that my rookie year, we weren't very good here with the Giants. Dan Reeves is last year. He gets fired. Jim Fossil comes in the next year. We had issues at the quarterback position. We didn't have a lot of stability at other positions. This team has more stability at certain key positions like the quarterback than the teams that are considered at the bottom of the league. It's unfortunate where the team is in respect to where they are in terms of talent. At certain critical positions.
Again, 201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. We go to Lynn calling in from Maryland. Lynn, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing, Anita? Hi, Roman.
Hello,
Lynn. How are you?
Good. Well, hanging in there as best as I can as a Giants fan. You know, let's go win four games. You know, I'll be there for the two home games, and I'll have to go to the sports bar like I did for the Jacksonville game to see the two away games. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to root for them. I want them to win. But you know, the bottom line in terms of summing up this 3-year deterioration of this team to this particular point, I mean, these four games are irrelevant. You know, if management needs these four games to make decisions about this team, whether it's in the general manager's office, scouting, coaching, and I'm not even going to weigh in on what they should do, but we don't need these four games to do this. We've reached the point where the games are irrelevant. And again, I'm going to root for them. Couple of things. We got to get bigger and stronger along both lines. It seems to me, Roman, this team is physically a weak team along both lines. We need some power lifters. Somebody like Chris Snee, but they don't come along every day. We need some power lifters at offensive guard. I mean, the team is not physically strong. Along that defensive line, I mean, we need some, you know, we need some big, strong guys. Good big guys beat good little guys in this game. We got to get stronger. I mean, physically, Roman, the offensive line is getting ragdolled. Yeah. I mean, and the breakdowns from play to play, over and over again. I mean, we don't need these four guys. We don't need these four games to find out who's getting ragdolled and who's having the physical and mental breakdowns. But, hey, let's go Giants. Let's win these four games. By God, let's stay healthy. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I mean, the only thing, just quick, give me 20 seconds. 1966, the Giants had to play a game in Los Angeles. That was the worst Giants team I've ever seen, 1966. You can check this out. We had to pick up a guy off the street to play quarterback. If I remember correctly, it was a guy named Tom Kennedy, who was playing for a local minor league team called the Brooklyn Dodgers, of all things. And we took this guy to L.A. to try to beat the Rams, and I think the Rams scored over 50 points on us. Not unusual that might happen that particular year. But, boy, I got to tell you, this comes pretty close in terms of the injuries. This is just
Lynn.
Mind-boggling. But you can't do anything about it. You just got to go out. You got to play the game. You know, I hate to say it. It's an overused term. You know, next man up, just get somebody. We're paying them. Give them the playbook. Coach them up, and let's go play physical.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your call. Really, and thanks for the history lesson, more importantly.
Really quick here.
Okay.
Lynn, thank you for the phone call. If I don't speak to you, happy holidays to you and your family. League IR players. Okay, Dallas Cowboys with the most players that have been placed on IR at 23. Seattle second with 21, and the Giants come in at third at 20. The Colts, Kansas City, both with 16, and the Miami Dolphins with 15. Just to kind of give you an idea of some of the teams that are still vying for a position in the postseason and trying to win a Super Bowl, riddled with injury as well. But here's the key. Here's the big but when it comes to the Giants, and that is, and I don't know the stats here, Roman, but we're talking about IR players who are starters. We're talking about IR players for the Giants who were playmakers, like a John Beeson, like a Victor Cruz.
Prince
Amukamara, exactly. So you could sit here and you could say, well, you know, the Cowboys have 23 guys on IR. Seattle has got 21. Okay, but were they starters? Were they big time playmakers? You know, were they crucial to the success of the team and the organization? That's really the big question mark there.
No, I agree. And to go back to Lynn's point about the offensive and defensive lines, I think again, when the units were at their best, you had relentless defensive linemen. Strahan, O.C., you know, a younger Tuck. I mean, all those guys. Even JPP 2011, you know, relentless guys. I mean, guys that you didn't have to bring more than four guys because the D-line, somebody was going to win. Even, you know, Chris Canty inside was a good pass rusher in terms of just collapsing the pocket. And then the offensive line. I mean, we know when you don't appreciate a good offensive line until you don't have a good offensive line. And again, but I think the team's going to have to work towards that. And I think obviously that's something that the organization is going to, you know, look at what needs to be addressed to fix it going forward.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get in. We go to line two. Rocky is calling in from Panama City. Rocky, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Amita. Hey, Roma.
Hey, Rock.
How's it going? I want to touch on 2 points like Liam was talking about with the O-line and the D-line. On the D-line, I remember Strahan started his career the right side, and then they shifted him over to the left side, and with Moore being about 250 pounds, don't you think it makes more sense to go ahead and kick JPP over to the left side and maybe get a matchup against some of them less athletic right tackles and hope that generates a little more pass rush?
Is this JPP's not a natural left end? I mean, he's a better right end. And, you know, DeMontre Moore has better flexibility to play both sides because he's had to do that. When you're a backup or you're not a non-starter, you know, you can't say backup, but you've got to play both sides. So I think – and this young kid, I like Kerry Wynn, man. He's big. He's got size. He had a great training camp. I mean, he beat out Israel Adonijé for a position to make the team. I mean, he beat out a 10-year veteran. I like Kerry Wynn. I think he's an undrafted rookie. And I think I know some members of his family, a guy I went to high school with, coached him in high school, something like that. So I've known about this guy since they brought him here, and I've watched this guy grow and get better and better. So, you know, I think with DeMontre Moore and Kerry Wynn, I mean, that's your right end. I mean, that's your left end, so to speak, facing the offense's right tackles. JPP is a pure right end. He's big enough to take the double teams, and obviously he's got the speed when he does turn it on, you know, to get around the corner.
But also we really don't know. We don't know the future of JPP.
Well, his future is he's got 4 games to still be a Giant, well, and he's got to produce. Look, he's only got, 5 sacks? He got 1.5 last week.
I know, but what I'm saying is we don't know if he's going to be here next year.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, and I think, you know, no one's called about this today, but, like, this isn't basketball. You can't tank a season and say, oh, the season's practically over, these games are irrelevant. No. If you're getting a paycheck, if you're waking up every day to go help a team win, that's your job to do that. So, you know, these fans and that are calling or people saying the season doesn't matter or you need to tank the season or start talking about next year. I mean, we, you know, as an analyst or what have you, we can talk about the future and the bigger picture. But if it's 2006 and 7 and I'm in the locker room right now, I'm trying to help my team win football game. I'm trying to help my team win.
But and you and I have had this conversation before, right? You and I have had this conversation before that, you know, you can understand why the Giants fans are wanting this team to win at this point, so that they do get a higher draft pick and they feel that they will get a better player. So,
but that doesn't always translate to, unless you have the first pick overall and you have the full autonomy to trade it up or down or get multiple. I mean, that's your advantage. I mean, when you're from number 2 to 7, I think there you still have a chance to draft a guy a lot higher than you really want to, because now you almost have to draft one of these top 7 players that don't always pan out. I mean, look, we were, I think, 5-11 or 6-10 my rookie year. My second year, they drafted Ike Hilliard from Florida. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Ike Hilliard.
Of course.
Phenomenal guy. Great player. He had a good career. Was he ever a Pro Bowler? No. When you look at that draft, I'm sure there was somebody between picks 8 and 20 that became Pro Bowlers and we'd have to go back to the 97 draft. Could that one of those guys have been drafted the Giants and not Ike? Or was there a receiver in that 97 draft? I mean, Cedric Jones, we'll have to talk about Ike. Cedric Jones was the 5th player in my draft pick, my draft class. He paid 6 or 7 years, had an average career. And you had Ray Lewis at 20. You had, you know, Zach Thomas in a third. I mean, you had some guys in that draft. I mean, the guy they wanted, I think, was John Ogden. He went 4 to Baltimore. You know, at 5, they didn't want Lawrence Phillips. Remember Lawrence Phillips, Nebraska?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some guys they didn't want. So, Cedric Jones, who had 50 sacks in college, was the guy they wanted in the draft. So, it's – I'm not a big component in wanting that high draft pick, because – I got some news for you. Raiders have had those high picks for a long time, and they're still losing.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a mixture of, A, getting a high draft pick and making the right decision, having a good scout team and scout department so that you are making the right decisions in regard to bringing those guys in.
If you have a top five, maybe top ten pick, he better be a Pro Bowler in his first 3 years. I mean, that's the expectation. And a lot of people feel like if you have a first-round pick, he better be a Pro Bowler, at the very least have a long career with that team, you know, 7, 8 years, 10, whatever. So, the struggle continues, if you will.
I know this is a Giants show, but just to derail on one of the hottest topics today in the NFL, and that was the announcement of whether Johnny Manziel was going to start for the Cleveland Browns. And so I guess prior to us starting the show, it was announced that Brian Hoyer did. But and I bring that up because we're talking about draft picks and Johnny Manziel being a first-round draft pick. This is a team that's still competing in that AFC North division.
Right.
Brian Hoyer has won football games for them, but if you were watching the game last week when Hoyer was taken out and Manziel came in, there was life, there was excitement, players. There is a much different vibe that took place on that field when Johnny Manziel was in there. But at the same time, you know, it's just I think it's a very interesting storyline. And going into this matchup against the Colts, Roman, you've got to think as Brian Hoyer, short leash, considering that this was even a thought and a decision that had to be made. He really needs to perform this week in Indianapolis against Andrew Luck.
Well, look, like you said, it is a Giants show, and I don't want to give too much attention to this subject. But I think, I mean, look at the case of Aaron Rodgers. The best thing for Aaron Rodgers' career was that he didn't have to get on the field as a rookie. He sat behind Brett Favre for, I don't know, 2-3 years before he was a starter. I know you're a fantasy person, and a lot of people are, and people
this is beyond fantasy.
Sex appeal of the matchups, and it's more exciting to see Luck versus Manziel and all the things that mean. But in terms of football, as a coach, you've got to make the best decision that enables your team to win. And I think the best thing for a young guy like Manziel's career probably is to sit and watch and learn how to be a pro football player, because there's probably some maturity issues there as to why. I mean, you want to feel. I played for the Browns for 2 years. I have a lot of respect for that organization. And my older son Roman Jr. was born on Father's Day at Cleveland Hospital, so I mean I'm emotionally connected to the Browns' success to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, he's going to have a career, I'm sure, at some point, but it just won't start on Sunday. I'm sure they're going to have packages. I heard they're going to have packages for him to play and compete at. But again, let's go back to the Giants Twitter or what have you. I don't really care about Hoyer Manziel.
That's fine, but the world does.
Well, yeah, the world is not all right. So let's watching the Giants Big Blue Kickoff live.
All right, so let's talk about what I had said earlier in regard to the number of players that that went on IR. Cowboys 23, the Seattle Seahawks 21, the Giants 20. Just got a tweet from Elm Gray. The Cowboys have $11.5 million designated to IR. Seattle, $17 million. The Giants, $27 million.
That's the number.
As of yesterday.
That's the number that's more compelling. I'd probably retweet that if I could get to that. But, that number, $27 million versus $11 million, I mean, that's double. I mean, it's almost triple, that number. So, again, Walter Thurman, one-year guy. I think that's $3 million against the cap, if I'm not mistaken. Prince, he's still on the end of his rookie contract. He's a guy, you talk about free agency, they've got to figure out what to do with Prince next year. So there are a lot of decisions that have to be made in terms of going forward. But, $27 million against the cap on IR versus, you talk about Dallas and these other teams. Can you go back to that? I mean, these other teams are competing for a playoff spot, and the Giants by far have the most money tied up in the sidelines. Unfortunately, I hate to use that term.
Again, 201-939-4513. You're listening to Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's continue with some of our calls, and we have Izzy calling in from the Bronx. Izzy, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Izzy.
I'm good. I just have just a couple of points. I know a lot of people was giving Coughlin and Jerry Reese a lot of the heat for, you know, the Giants season that's been going on these last couple of seasons. And granted, you know, as a fan, you do get frustrated or whatever, but one thing that I want our Giant Nation to know, that as far as the injuries that we sustained these last half two seasons, forget last season, just this season alone, starting with, like, David Wilson and a lot of the injuries that we sustained this season, if we could at least keep half of those injuries that's on injury reserve, I guarantee we'll have a better record.
Oh, I agree 100%.
And with that being said, you can't blame Jerry Reese for injuries or, you know, a lot of people thinking that he got a hit on every draft pick. If you look at a lot of his drafts, even since 2007, we had talent, at least two players, or at least one player that panned out and did significantly perform well for our team. But I think going forward, as we evaluate talent and just going on this season and going on in the future, I think Jerry Reese should just start analyzing and scouting more depth, because it seemed like his depth picks as far as the draft, like the fourth round and seventh through seven, hasn't been panning out as far as getting on the field or performing. So as far as the O-line, starting with last season and this season, we only brought in Rich Bird and a lot of, like, backups opposed to Schwartz that really hasn't panned out as far as sustaining our O-line. As far as the D-line, we got to really get better on that side of the ball too, because if you look at, like, Kiwanuka and you got Cullen Jenkins, he's getting up there in age. You got Mike Patterson, he's kind of getting up there in age. So I don't think one draft season or one free agency is going to, you know, just cure all of our, you know, all of our ills on this team. But I do think that we need to look forward as far as making sure that our draft picks and be real strategic in our free agency, that we'll have a much better understanding and going forward as far as having depth for this team. So I just wanted to go on that, because there's a lot of people, you know, just wanting Tom Coughlin to go. Tom Coughlin is a great coach. He led us to two Super Bowls, and I'm quite sure everybody is a want-now performance. So I don't want to even stay on the line and talk about that, but I just want to just sit on Jerry Reese. And I think he did a decent job, but going forward, I think he just needs to evaluate and scout better as far as depth and everything. So thanks for taking my call.
Izzy, I appreciate those comments a lot. And you know, Tom Coughlin didn't forget how to coach, with the exception of the 07 and 2011 seasons, obviously. You know, the irony is, you know, his 300th game he just had against Jacksonville, a team that he built, he really built that tradition down there. And they haven't been as successful since he left, unfortunately. But if you look at the way a roster is composed, and I saw this stat when I was a player rep, when I was playing, that you usually have a third of the roster with your first, second-round picks. I mean, the top end of your roster, your first, second-round picks, the guys that re-sign, you know, your Eli's, your guys like that, Strahan. I mean, that's a third of your roster. I mean, that should be the first guys getting off the bus. Then that middle third of your roster is a free agent, maybe your 1 year guys, like your tight ends, you know, your Martellus Bennett, the guy that was here, you know, Mosley last. I mean, you have that core middle late round guys that are ascending, special teams guys, solid contributors. And then that bottom third of the roster is the revolving door. That's your rookies that are developing. That's your guy you sign off the street, the guy you bring up from practice squad. I mean, but, you know, some people will say that you're only really as good as that bottom third of your roster because that's your future. Some people will say the guys in that top third of your roster have to be dominant in their position. You know, maybe hopefully you get some guys that are top five, top ten in the league at their positions. Some people say the middle of the roster is their core. Some teams believe that every year you've got to equally feed all those three. Some say it's the draft. I mean, so there's different philosophies that work. But, you know, I'm just a firm believer, and you just have to believe in the philosophy that you believe in, and everybody has to buy in. Scouting, coaching, and obviously the players you bring in have to buy into the system as a whole. So, and it's unfortunate when you – look at, you know, $27 million on this roster is due to injuries. You can't coach an injured player, and once you scout or bring a guy in the building and he gets injured, that's not your fault either. So, but there's also criticism that comes along with the job at hand. And Jerry Reese has talked about this. Coach Coughlin has talked about this. Players understand that.
How much of this, the injuries that we're seeing, not just with the Giants, we just said Cowboys 23 players on IR, Seattle 21, is because of the new collective bargaining agreement. And
that's 100%. And kind of 100%.
Kind of be careful what you wish for, and what the NFLPA agreed to with the NFL, because a lot of these players, and since the new collective bargaining agreement has come out, we're seeing a lot more injuries, because I just feel that players aren't really ready and prepared physically for the start of the NFL season.
But and look, Anita, I was a player rep for, I think, 7 years, 7 out of my 12 years in the NFL. And coaching and preparing and helping to develop a player and ownership in terms of benefits and the salary, those two don't really have anything to do with each other. And I feel it's unfortunate, and I'll say this. I think the players were kind of, you know, manipulated into feeling like these owners want to take away this and take away, well, let's tell them we only want this many practice days. We want to shorten the offseason. Look, I talked to Perry Fuel one time in the summer. He says, in college, you get, what, 18, 20 weeks of an offseason? That's with a full schedule of courses. But in the NFL, you get 9 weeks. How are you getting more chance to develop an 18 to 20-year-old, 22-year-old kid than you are an NFL player, a free agent off the streets, who cannot start practicing until April 20th. And you know, my off seasons were always the third week in March, and you can get there as early as the first week of March to just start to prepare for the season, where you need 2 full weeks of conditioning, bench, squatting, conditioning, all that stuff. Then the football stuff starts, you know, end of April, May, OTAs, mini camp, June. I mean, a full 12, 16-week off season. And you can do the internships, you can do all that stuff, because you're in by 7:30, 10, you're done by 1 o'clock. But you know what? It's the era they live in. This is what players wanted. They'd rather, you know, flip tires and flip a rope and get ready for the season. But then when you got to cut and run and do the high-end aerobic football activity, guys are getting injured.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. We go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome.
Hi there, Anita and Roman.
Hey, Joe.
I'm going back again to the last game. I know the injuries, they've been bad. But that last game, I just got to emphasize on – what a difference, like Tale of Two Cities, the first half, what a great first half the Giants had there with their drives. And then the second half, the offensive line couldn't block at all. Was that due to Schwartz getting hurt and all the pressure, or what there, Roman? What was, you know, did they make different moves rushing on at edges? Or,
well, I don't know. Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
Schwartz got injured. Then Brewer was in at right tackle. Then he gets injured. Yeah. He gets a concussion. Now you've got to move John Jerry to right tackle, which is not his natural position. And then you're putting Dallas Reynolds at right guard. After those five, there was nobody else left on the sideline to play offensive line for the team for the entire second half, or at least from mid-third quarter on. So,
but it just showed what Eli can do with protection again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really, really unfortunate. And you know, we can talk about the Larry Donnell fumble. That I mean, that hasn't happened since 1965. You spot another team 14 points on offense. But
I mean, like I said, I think that was a total team loss. You know, the offense could have won it, the defense, the specialty teams. I don't know what the coaching on some of that stuff, you know. I mean, it was a heartbreaking loss. So, but I look going ahead, you know, things to turn around, because I do think Jerry Reese had a great draft this year again with these young players. They're all playing, you know, with this draft. And I think this can match to the draft, the one when we had Bradshaw and that come in, you know.
On that 06-07.
I think he had a great one. Right, I think they did. So hopefully going forward, you know, next year, because the last few years, was last year worse in injuries or this year? I'm not sure.
I think this year is definitely worse. And I've been asking writers all morning to get me the stats of I think it's Inside Football or Football Foot, whatever, one of those websites where they did the numbers last year. There were 91 total games missed due to injury. Collectively, and then this year, you've got to add more, because if you already started the season with, if you count Snead's and Dave Wilson's retirement, that's 16 games, that's 32 games missed already before the season even started. And if you go back to training camp, you know, I mean, there were so many moves made in the offseason, 15 new guys they brought in. Manningham was never back to his old form. He was still injured. Trenton Holiday never got off the bicycle in training camp. So, I mean, they had in mind to really reshuffle the entire roster going into the season, which they did. I mean, and even the offensive linemen they brought in. Some people argue these are backup guys, but you brought in all these guys, Charles Brown and John Jerry. I mean, these guys are all 27 years old. So you brought in guys to compete with the Brandon Mosleys Eric Hermans and all these guys, Brewer, to really find that best combination of nine guys that could compete. And then the offseason, you let Lanville Joseph go, and he's not having a great season in Minnesota, if you guys don't know that. He's not having a great season at all. He's having some adjustments out there. So they believed in Hankins. Colin Jenkins, you know, had nagging injuries. Patterson would be back. So you thought at least going into the season that the formula was fixed in that regard. But again, Tom Coughlin alluded to the fact that, you know, soft tissue injuries versus actually surgically needed to repair injuries are two different things. The guy tears a ligament or breaks something, I mean, that you got to repair that. That's not training. That's just an unfortunate reality. But if you had 7-8 guys with nagging hamstring and backs, you know, starters that aren't playing, then that's something that has to do with training and, you know, maybe the strength coach. I mean, those are issues you have to address. But these injuries have been as legitimate injuries. Victor Cruz, we all saw that Philadelphia game. You know, I saw Prince walk around with the big thing, whatever you sling. I don't know what you call these new.
After his surgery.
Yeah, I mean, these are unfortunate. Walter Thurman, same thing. So these are unfortunate injuries that this team has had to deal with. And again, Tom Coughlin didn't forget how to coach the last couple of years, but I think it's been a combination of poor execution in certain phases, talent, and then just production.
Hey, really quick, I want to remind folks, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy site, where it's like a new season every time you play. So make sure you hurry. Get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now to enter the code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Yeah, I like the combination. Good job.
You don't play. What do you know?
I don't, and I'm honest about that fact. And I don't feel uncomfortable in a room when people ask me advice about fantasy stuff, and I say, listen, I'm a little old school. I watch the games. I look at the matchups. I watch the O tackle going against the DN, the receiver against the corner. I look at the quarter. I look at the defense. I mean, that's
you could do both.
If I start,
you can't. It's not like you just do one or the other. You could actually do both.
Like I said, I've got two kids. You've got three dogs, so you can watch as much TV as I don't have the luxury.
Here's a Twitter
question. I live vicariously through your social life when you can watch all the college games, and I've got to coach the games.
Here's a Twitter question: why did we not bring in Eric Winston when we let Charlie Brown go? And by the way, Eric Winston, I want to say he was just picked up by either I think San Francisco.
I think so. I'm not sure. I, you know, that would be a hashtag ask Jerry Reese question. I don't know why they didn't.
Well, no,
No, I'm just saying.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Eric Winston. Your thoughts on him.
I don't know I haven't seen enough film on him to see what where he could contribute on this line, or in terms of where his natural position is. I mean, you brought in Adam Snyder. Unfortunately, he's injured. But again, it's sometimes the combination of the right fit for the team, based on what the guy's abilities are, based on what the team feels like his abilities are and his ability to contribute.
All right,
I just gave you the long political answer, but that's really how I feel.
It's all good. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Let's go to Damian calling in from Philadelphia. Damian.
Hello.
Hi.
Damian from Philly. How you doing?
Let's finish strong, Damian.
Yeah. How y'all doing, man? I just want to call and tell y'all doing a good job on the show.
Thank you. I just want
to let these Giants fans know, man. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a strong Giants fan. What I don't understand about us is they got to understand that we have nobody right now. Everybody's injured. Like, people need to calm down and talk about they want Coughlin's head, they want Reese's head. I mean, it's too many people going down this season. It's like the same thing you just said, Roland. I was listening to this, man. They to the point where they don't even have no body to back up for the O-line. Nobody. So it's like, I mean, all right, and people, this is another thing that a lot of people don't know. At the beginning of the season, the Giants, I watched the whole preseason. I watched the first to the last game. A lot of people don't know. We were the leading, was leading in the league for interceptions and turnovers at that point in time in the beginning of the season. A lot of people don't know. We were healthy.
I remember that.
And I don't understand why people are so mad. I mean, everybody's going down. We have cornerbacks going down, linebackers going down, running backs going down, the O-line going down. What do you think? I don't care what nobody says. If you put Tom Brady on the back of that O-line, the same thing's going to happen. He's going to throw picks. We see it in the Super Bowl. When we had the dominant O-line and we had pass rushers and all that, and Brady was on the floor dirty, you know what I'm saying? But people don't understand that. People just need to relax. Stop saying some people need to get fired and all that. It's just hold on, be a Giants fan, wait till next year, and then if the same thing happens again, then you have a healthy line and a healthy know something's wrong. But right now, come on, man, it's injuries. Come on. That's the only thing. I mean, a lot of people don't want to say it, but it's the injuries. It's too many people down, offensive and defensive. So, I mean, I just want to say thanks for taking my call and stuff like that. But y'all doing a good job.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, D. No, that's pretty honest. I mean, injuries are never an excuse, but you have to wonder. I think another call said this. If half of the guys, I mean, let's look at six guys right now: Prince, Walter Thurman, Beason, I don't know, Tremaine McBride, offensively, Victor Cruz. Let's say a healthy Schwartz. Four more games of Jernigan where he picked off in that Houston game. I don't know, Snyder, who else was, I mean, Jarrell Jernigan. I mean, so you're talking starters and backups injured at certain key spots. If you take half of that, give me a healthy Beason and a healthy Cruz. What's the record right now? I mean, are the Giants 6-6? Would a chance to just fight their way the last stretch?
I said it before the season began.
And they could have been 6-6 now last three games.
I felt Beason was the straw that stirred the drink here on the defensive side of the ball with the Giants.
Yeah, yeah. He was the guy that
his leadership,
reminded you of his
communication.
Antonio Pierce and the Michael Strahan mm-hmm. days. And, I mean, that is who John – I mean, he was a Miami guy, so he's got that Miami swagger, panache, whatever you want to call it. And he's a smart guy also. Not that Miami guys aren't smart, but you know what I mean. He has all the intangibles. But again, I mean, give me half of the guys that are a third of the guys.
You know, University of Miami is a private organization.
Yes, I've been to Coral Gables. It's like a country club down there. But obviously, their decision.
It's a private school.
Yeah, football is a different. It's a different. You got two different Miamis. You got the football team, and you got the rest of the school.
We have to read this before we sign off. You want to give it a whirl?
Yeah. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every single time you play. Even if I decide to play, it's like a new season, because it would be a new season for
It'll be a cold day.
Hurry. Get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home how much?
$10,000.
$10,000.
10 G's, baby.
Yes, ma'am. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE, B-L-U-E, and play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE, B-L-W-E, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Really quick, NFC East, Dallas at Chicago, Thursday night football. Who wins that matchup?
Dallas at Chicago? Mm-hmm. I go Dallas. Dallas, they got their... They got embarrassed at home
on Turkey Day.
I think they come back. Chicago's having a tough time winning at home this season. I don't even know. I mean, they might have won one game at home this year or two, maybe. I don't know their record, but I would give it. I'd say Dallas bounces back from that.
Seattle at Philadelphia.
I say Philadelphia.
Really?
Yeah, I say Philly's going to run them out.
Seattle's defense has been really hot as of late.
No, they've been good, but Philly at home with the lead. I mean, I'm talking a 7-point lead. It's a different game already.
Rams at Washington. Colt McCoy starting quarterback yet again.
Oh, yeah, Rams. I mean, they dropped 52 last week on somebody, and I think the Rams are on the road. They're going to prove, I think, especially Jeff Fisher. He's a guy, he wanted to prove they're better. They're a good team outside the dome, so I think they do well.
Okay.
Who else?
Interesting.
Those three?
Well, I was focused on NFC East.
Yeah, I love it. And not the Cleveland Browns. I know, I'll give you a hard time.
You're such a jerk.
I know. It's okay.
No, you really are.
You still love me, though.
That's the biggest story today.
But anyway. Not for Giants Nation, it isn't.
But for people. Giants Nation are people, too. Anyway, we're going to sign
off. You got shoes and you've got...
We're going to sign off.
You got drinks, you got Gatorade. But we're talking Gatorade, okay? It's a difference. I'm talking about drinks. We're talking about Gatorade.
Yeah, but everybody likes drinks. Anyway, we are signing off. Make sure you tune into Giants.com a little bit later. Players after practice will make themselves available to the media. Those interviews will be posted on Giants.com. And then Roman will be back tomorrow with P. Dots, Paul DeTino. And I guarantee you they will not be talking about the Cleveland Browns and Johnny Manziel. Have a great day, everybody.